in a sense, the very first book of the Bible is the book of Exodus. Now, I know that you'll say that the Bible begins, as I've often mentioned, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, you know, the whole world was that tohu vabohu, that empty wasteland, that formless void. The best way to get an image of that is probably to look in a teenager's bedroom. But that's where the Bible begins, but it's really in the book of Exodus that the central idea of Scripture takes its shape. It's there that God begins to do His work to redeem. And it's why that on this night the church insists that the reading from Exodus is always used. The other six readings are optional. You can pick and choose among them. But the reading from Exodus must always be read on this night, because it tells the story of what God began to do with His people. Of course, we know that through Abraham and his sons, and through the work of Joseph, that the Israelites had gone from the Promised Land to Egypt as welcome guests, because Joseph had liberated the people. He had provided them with food during a time of great starvation. But century upon century had passed. And when the book of Exodus begins, it's a very different story. It's the story of a people that have become oppressed and brought into slavery by the great empire of Egypt. Egypt has become the superpower of their day. And they're building their greatness, they're building their wealth brick by brick through the slavery of the Israelite people. And in the very first chapter of Exodus, you have something amazing that begins to unfold. Because you don't just have the oppression of the Egyptians. You don't just have this sense of slavery. You don't have the sense of this kingdom that's acting against the will and power of God. God is about peace. He's about shalom. He's about order. But you never build that through slavery and oppression. And that is what the Egyptians are doing to the Israelites. But in chapter 1, you have a God who says, I have seen your trials. I have looked upon your misery. I have heard your cry, and I will answer. God is the kind of God who hears the cry. The Hebrew word for cry, which we see again and again and again throughout Scripture, is the word sa'ak, S-A-A-Q. It's the sound that you make when you hit your thumb with a hammer. Perhaps after the swearing, but it's the ouch. It's the sound of pain, the sound of the cry of your heart when it's wounded, when it's burdened, when it's sorrowing. That's the cry that the Lord always hears. He probably filters out the other things, but He hears the cry of the poor. That is the God that we worship, the God who again and again and again listens and hears the cry. He sees the oppressed and He does something about it. Of course, in the book of Exodus, we see that God calls Moses, the shepherd, to be the leader of His people. And He calls him and empowers him to be the one who, on behalf of God, will hear the cry. How often in your life has there been a dramatic kind of change? A point in your life when you've realized that, hey, I can't go on like this anymore. Something happens so deeply, so powerfully, that we need to do something differently. How often does that happen as a result of when you think you're just hanging on for dear life to the last strains, the last threads of the rope? How often is it that it's at that point when you're so aware of your hurt that you know that then you can cry out to God? It's then that you can express that deep pain and anguish, and you know that God will hear that cry, that God will answer. And in the book of Exodus, we see that God answers through Moses and through Moses' interaction and engagement with Pharaoh. And so eventually Pharaoh agrees and says, "Yes, I will let your people go. You can go out into the desert." And so Moses leads the people of God away from slavery, away from oppression, away from all that anti-kingdom of Egypt represents, and leads them by the way of the desert into and through the waters of the Red Sea, through that sea of liberation, that sea of new life, the symbol throughout the centuries then of baptism, that sign of our own going down into the waters to come out into new life, that supreme sign that we get in the resurrection of Jesus, who also went down into the waters of death on the cross, who was placed in that place where no one has been before, and he came forth, the conquering king, the Lord, the Messiah, the one who established that death is not the end, that death is merely the path through which we experience the full liberation and power of God. But we have to cry out. We have to be aware of our pain. We have to be aware of our need, and aware that at times we are part of those kind of systems that oppress the poor. We are sometimes a part of those kingdoms that are against the kingdom of God. And it's then that we need to allow the saving gift of the resurrection of Jesus to bring us to new life. I want to finish with a story, but it's a story that requires participation of the congregation. So can you please stand? And I'll invite my favorite seminarian to come with me. Now, the rabbis tell this story that when the people of God were being freed and liberated from slavery, when they went down into the waters of the Red Sea, and it'd be really good if, if I got the sense that you were the two walls of water on left and right. And so maybe if you raise your arms and kind of wave them around a bit, so I had the sense of the water that I'm going through. And then in the midst of this, there are these two slaves who are just kind of wandering along. They're not the sharpest arrows in the quiver. Their cameras don't have the highest resolution. But as they wander along, they're kind of forgetting about all these massive walls of water to left and right. And all that they can see is, my goodness, look, there's so much mud around. And it's all getting between the toes. And as we walk along, it's going over my sandals. I hate that. I hate that feeling of the mud between my toes. This is so horrible and disgusting. And thank you, you can sit down. At times, God can be doing such amazing work around us. God can be liberating us. God can be setting us free. God can do this incredible action and work. And all that we're aware of is the mud between our toes. All that we can sense is just this. It's not even pain. It's not even the sark. It's just the stuff that's there. At times the Lord invites us to look up, to to look at the wall of water on our left and the wall of water on our right, and to see that the power of God is holding these waters back. That God is giving us a chance to be free. That God is offering us a possibility to go through the waters. I invite you tonight, when we renew our baptismal promises, to really use that as a chance, not just to say the words "I do," but to express that as the desire of your heart, to express that as the cry of your life, to call out to God and to say, "Yes, Lord, I do believe. Help me to experience the power of your resurrection. Help me to know the new creation that you offer to me through this Eucharist tonight."